Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen.
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 If you see something, say something. That was the request made by the Cleveland Police Department this past week as they tried to unravel yet another mind-boggling event. Three young girls taken from their families and held captive for 10 years. We could spend time fretting over just what this world is coming to and why God allows horrible things to happen to innocent children. Or we could hear that request, if you see something, say something, as a reminder that we are connected to each other, dependent on each other, responsible for each other. In a world that screams, "Stay out of my business," we are told to keep an eye on our neighbors and speak up when we see something amiss. Lives depend on it. Today is the Sunday after Ascension Day, a day rarely noticed in the church anymore because it falls on a weekday, the day when the resurrected Jesus ascended to heaven, leaving his disciples on their own. Or so they thought at the time. Little did they know that the power of God's Holy Spirit would invade their private lives some 10 days later. Little did they know that God's Holy Spirit would teach and guide and move them to act on behalf of others for the rest of their lives. This morning's collect, that prayer that we pray at the beginning of our service to collect our thoughts, beseeches God not to leave us comfortless. As people of faith, we live in hope that God's Holy Spirit will teach us to be in communion with God and with each other, to be one with God and with each other. Because that is how we were created. We were created in God's image. We were not created to lead solitary lives. We were given life to learn how to become one with God through each other. This morning's gospel passage takes place on the night before Jesus died, when he is spending his final hours with his disciples. Jesus has just a short time left to impart his hopes and his dreams for those that he loves so dearly. In spite of the urgency of the moment, he does not admonish them with a last-minute list of shoulds and oughts. He does not heap a guilt trip onto them just because, up to this point, they've only understood bits and pieces of what he's trying to teach them. I'm not exactly sure how the church became so associated with guilt and shame, because all Jesus ever did was love us. But actually, these words that we heard read this morning were not directed to Jesus' disciples, but to God's own self. The entire chapter 17 of John's Gospel is known as Jesus' priestly prayer. What Jesus does in his final hour as his final teaching is to let us listen in on his most private and intimate prayer with the one that he knows as Abba, Daddy. And what Jesus prayed with all his heart is that God would forever continue to help us come to know the insurmountable joy of being in complete and utter union with God. Just as Jesus had always been one with God, he prayed that God would see to it that we would learn to live into that same way of life. What an incredible request Jesus makes on our behalf. A life lived in complete communion with God, where there are no more tears, no more strife, no more wars, no more division, no more hunger, no more pain. A life lived instead only with forgiveness and healing, abundance and blessing. How amazing is his love for us. And not just for us, but for all who come to believe and hope in this abundant life through us. How fitting, then, that this message is heard on a day when we also celebrate the gift of motherhood, as well as the gift of long and life-giving marriages. It's not motherhood or marriage per se that is to be revered. These are simply avenues for God's love to be made known. So what did I just say? Motherhood and marriage are avenues. Because we know all too well that sometimes these roles can lead to destruction, to broken relationships, divided communities, and I'm not going to make it. Cold type springtime allergies, but it's not 3 feet of snow, so it's good. All right. We know that sometimes mothers aren't perfect. We know that sometimes marriages aren't perfect. But we also have met extraordinary people who live into these roles and give of themselves to offer love, forgiveness, reconciliation, hope, and redemption. Now, what are the characteristics of a mother at her best? She begins by taking part in creating life. She then gives of herself to that life. She shows incredible patience and forgiveness. She heals hurts. She teaches hard truths with great love. And she rejoices when love is returned to her. In doing so, she is revealing glimpses of God's very own nature. What are characteristics of a lifelong marriage? Patience, forgiveness, understanding, mutual give and take, life-giving joy, love, again revealing God's very own nature. When we find ourselves alone and comfortless, it is only because we struggle to honor God's image in ourselves and in each other. We were created to be in each other's business. We were created to care and nurture and give life and hope to each other. By walking with another through the ups and downs of this life, we are learning about God's true nature, which ultimately is our own as well. And so on this day, we give God thanks for all those incredible people in our lives, whether they be mothers or sisters or wives or daughters or friends or husbands or dads or brothers, anyone who has blessed us. These are the people God has given us to love us for who we are, not who they want us to be, but always encouraging us to grow into the person we are meant to be. And the other gift of this day is that because of those incredible people in our lives, we have been shown the ability within ourselves to be that person for someone else. Thanks be to God. Amen.